Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to the fifth week in professional ethics class here with SMB Institute. We are going to pretty much complete what we have been doing for the last 4 weeks in this fifth week. And with that being the case, we are pretty much going to go back and work our way from where we were to where we are at the moment in order that you are fully and well prepared for things to come, such as your final exam. And I would first and foremost like to say for all of those who did put their all in all into this particular course, I hope that you not only were able to get something out of the experience of being able to do such classwork for me and such quizzes and tests for me, but even more than that, for yourself, that you are really able to get something out of what we have done here within this professional ethics course for SMB Institute Technologies. And I say that because these particular courses or classes, rather, that we've been having for the last few weeks have really gotten to a particular point of us being able to understand some particular situations as they would happen with men and women within our society, and things that are not always talked about or discussed in the workplace or even more importantly outside the workplace. And very good to be able to get to a particular point of understanding these particular things that we have done in light of not only for the lessons here in the book, but even more importantly for yourself and for what you have been to get out of these particular lessons. So, as everybody knows, up until this particular point, there has been four quizzes / tests, and this last test will be a culmination of everything that we have done up until this particular point, okay? Therefore, a lot of the things that we are going to discuss today should sound familiar to you. They should be things that are not surprises, and they should also be parts of subjects that you have a keen understanding of. And I say all of these things because if we get to a particular point and it is not what we have just discussed, where things are kind of familiar to you, where things are even more than that, at a particular point as to where you are aware of what I'm speaking of, and I want to make sure that at that particular point, you make notation of that so that while you are reading along with this particular class within your textbook and maybe somewhere off in your notes, you can make a little side note for yourself of something that you might want to make sure you give attention to and that you understand a little bigger and better than you did beforehand. Okay? All right? I do want to say that with this particular course as well, professional ethics, that even though, as it states in the textbook, that, of course, ethics in the workplace is the discussion here, we are completing this particular discussion day in and day out. We are mostly referring to work in the ethics place. But as I stated a moment ago, make sure that you take your time to implement the notion of what we do within these classes into your lives and help yourself with the ability of being able to understand situations. I was just having a conversation with my father, as a matter of fact, in regards to being able to understand certain things that have to be done within certain jobs to be able to get ahead. Now, of course, we all start with having a job, but the goal is to work our way towards a career. And whether in a workplace such as a job or in a career, you want to be able to know how to deal with the politics of where you are working at. And a lot of what we've been discussing, it pretty much aims exactly in that particular area and ballpark. There are a lot of things that go on in the workplace. Once again, be it your job or your career, to where you have to understand the politics of what it is you're doing and who you're doing it with, so you know what kind of moves to make. You know what kind of people that you don't want to get in their way. You know what kind of people that you do want to kind of summon their help in particular things. You get to a point of understanding how to navigate through the system and the channels of where you're working at in a way that'll be conducive to what it is that you are most likely trying to do, which is to move up in that particular company or that particular corporation, and maybe start at a particular point as to where you are maybe close to the bottom, but of course you want to finish up as close to the top as you possibly can. And ethics in workplace, and the things that we have discussed in these particular chapters would allow you to be able to do just that if they were correctly implemented and adhered to. Okay. Now, one thing about, of course, this course is we have covered four chapters, but if you look on, there are actually 11 chapters in all. Past what we have done, we start to get into particular things that deal a whole lot more exclusively with the workplace and ethics, if you will, kind of very exclusively. For instance, you can look on at chapter 5 through 11, and you can just look at the titles of the chapters there, and nothing from the point of chapter 5 on has to do with a personal situation per se, as much as it has to do with two or more entities. And so you can see chapter 5, ethics in advertising, or going on, ethics in selling, ethics in finance, ethics in computer technology, ethics in human resources, ethics for employees, or ethics in corporate responsibility. You can see that all those particular situations outside of the four that we have dealt with are getting a little bigger than what can go on or what can happen to a person on a personal level, okay? Things that just may happen to affect you in your life or in your job place or your career and where you work at. From that standpoint, once again, while you look at the things that we have done within the last 4 weeks, we have gotten to a notion of not only welcoming ourselves to the whole world of ethics, if you will, and what it's all about and the sources of ethical beliefs and things of that particular nature and understanding standards of behavior. But from there, we moved on into understanding ethical principles, for instance, and how we might base our morality on such things as consequences or individual rights, duties, or virtues. And then we moved on from there into the personal ethical development that we discussed in Chapter 3. And got a bigger and better understanding of the components of consistent ethical behavior by way of the justice model or the caring model of moral development, and then the opposing forces that might not allow us to be able to develop in particular ethical fashions. And then last but not least, last week, in which most of you have by this particular point completed Chapter 4 as well, we have gotten to the notion of understanding that there needs to always be critical thinking within the world of ethics and within the world, period, but especially in ethics. There need be that because there will come logical fallacies within the world of ethics. And within these logical fallacies, there need be a bit of ethical reasoning. And within that notion of ethical reasoning, we can also get to a particular point of understanding how the ethics model itself would be something that could help to prepare us for things that would be dealt with by way of having to think critically as a person who might happen to be in a job, place, in a career, or even at school, at home, wherever you might be, okay? All right? So once again, drawing the point, please understand that starting way back in chapter one, we discussed ethics more so as it relates to ourselves, for ourselves, by ourselves, with ourselves, and how it would be utilized with other people within other situations, okay? But once again, moving past chapter four, then we really start to get into the nuts and the bolts of ethics within the workplace, and the writers of the book get to a particular point of making sure that you understand exactly what ethics in the workplace will encompass. It will, altogether, by the time we were to complete this whole workbook, help us to become more sensitive to ethical issues in everyday life and at work, as I have already explained. And once you learn to recognize ethical issues, you'll be amazed at all the places that you see them, you know, at home, school, in your community, all around the world. Okay. Also, as a result of things that we have done here within the last 4 weeks, I hope that you have also been encouraged to learn and think more clearly and quickly and logically about difficult ethical issues and questions, and that you allow yourself to carefully think through an ethical problem, and especially now that you understand the steps in being able to do so, that you implement those particular steps in hopes of finding the best answer in your particular situation. And as a result of us understanding the ethics in the workplace, then you also should be available yourself to tools necessary to make more mature and responsible ethical decisions, and decisions that you can look back later with pride and a notion of understanding rather than a notion of regret, because as humans, we do that quite often. You know, we go back to a particular situation and say, man, I wish I would have did this, you know, being what I know now. Well, with this particular introduction to ethics, if you will, I hope that you have been given the ammunition and the willpower to be able to do just that, to be able to help you understand the vastly different consequences of ethical and unethical behavior, not only at work, but within the world. Okay, and also to give you an opportunity to raise your own personal ethical standards, you know, to maybe new higher levels, because you must choose, if you do choose to do so, to raise these particular standards for yourself. This higher road, it's not an easy one, and, you know, there aren't too many people that choose to take that particular high road when it comes to ethics, simply because it's not an easy one. And if it would, then more people would be taking it. But however, as you grow in more maturity, you'll find that people treat you more as an adult and less as a child. And of course, they end up respecting you and trusting you more in the process. And then, of course, as a result of understanding this particular work that we have done, of course, ethics in the workplace will assist you as you set sail on what it is hoped would be a lifelong search for the best answers to life's problems and core principles to live by. You know, and then, of course, eventually just living a good life. Okay. Some of the things that ethics in the workplace and the things that we have been doing, and if you continue to read on in the chapters, will be able to do, or will not be able to do, rather, things that we won't be able to do, of course, are, to be able to provide you with a list of rules and regulations to obey in life, okay, because the goal of studying ethics is to learn how to make responsible and mature moral decisions, but on your own, not ones that you are forced to make. We have discussed in a few of the lessons and a few different times the notion of religion. And when it comes to that of religion, once again, there are already rules and regulations that you are adhered to obey. And within those rules and regulations, there is not a whole lot of room left for independent thinking and independent decision making. Okay? You already know that at a particular point, hey, thou shalt not kill in some particular instances, if not all of it. Or you are not to cheat on your wife. Or you are to make sure that you are at a point of having a moral compass which leads you into doing right more so before wrong. And once again, within that particular set of religion, these are rules and regulations that are to be obeyed, but not at the point where there are moments or instances where you are looked at to utilize independent thought to make a decision for yourself. It's for the greater good, if you will. Another thing that understanding ethics and how it works in the workplace will not do is to be able to give you a list of opinions with which you are expected to agree. Okay, please understand that the things we have discussed in this book and in regards to ethics in the workplace is about the process, once again, of making decisions about two things, about what is right and then about what is wrong. Okay. Ethics in the workplace and what we have discussed is something as to where there is no notion of trying to manipulate or control your moral beliefs or opinions, because an important part of ethical maturity is developing your own beliefs and opinions for your own reason. Okay. And, of course, in doing these things, you will develop these particular beliefs or opinions based on the evidence that is there for you to make these decisions. These are not things that you would just haphazardly get to a particular point of being able to think a thing, but not being able to justify this particular thing that is being thought as being a sound or reasonable thought. Okay. And, you know, to force you to share your private beliefs, opinions, feelings, and experiences with others, your right to privacy within the discussion of ethics is something that should always be respected, okay? All right? And, if we're discussing the organization of what we've done up until this particular point as well, in another light, first four chapters, they pretty much represent the foundation of ethics. And in those chapters, we have investigated the nature of ethics and the principles that can be used in making ethical decisions. And within those chapters, we also learned about the processes of moral development and how we'll be able to acquire whatever critical thinking skills that would be needed and could prove to be useful in finding answers to ethical questions. And moving on, if you do choose to do so through chapters 5 through 11, then you get to the particular point of focusing more on specific ethical issues in the workplace, as we have discussed ethical issues that would relate to such things as advertising, because do understand that there are ethical problems in advertising. For instance, if I were to say 1 out of 10 doctors agree that using marijuana is something that will destroy your life with no avail, well, at that particular point, while I'm advertising that particular point, that 1 in 10 doctors have stated that marijuana is the most terrible thing you could ever think of, I might not have also told you within that advertisement that I only asked 10 doctors when, in fact, we have more than millions of doctors here in this country alone. Okay, so there are cool problems in advertising, and to be able to understand the ethical standard is something that would help you to deal with those particular issues that deal with ethics and advertising. And moving on, the ethics and selling, of course, we probably already know anytime the notion of selling is coming into the picture, okay, trying to sell someone on something, that there usually will be room for, ethical problems and concerns, okay? And that in chapter 6 is where you'll get into the principles of ethical selling, as to where you are now able to adhere to, if you will, some particular ways as to where decisions that are to be made in selling are now doing things in an ethical fashion. So now you do not have people being sold maybe meats or fruits that are contaminated at grocery stores, with the grocery stores knowing that these meats and fruits and foods were contaminated, you spending your hard-earned money all just to get to the point of being poisoned, killed, and eating food that just jacked you all up. Not a good way to go. And within Chapter 6, you were going to get to a particular point, or if you have already gone that far, are getting to a particular point of understanding how ethics works within the world of selling. Now, how ethics works within the world of finance altogether is an ethical issue that's discussed in Chapter 7. Not only an ethical issue, but an ethical issue within financial professions. So if you are someone who is planning on being a banker, or someone who is planning on being in the world of investments and stocks and things of that particular nature, then that is a chapter that you will be spoken to directly. And even if that is not one of your ultimate goals within your world of education and your endeavors here in your career, you would surely be able to get some things out of that for your own self and your own family, things in regards to being able to understand applying ethical issues and principles in the world of creating budgets, or in the world of making sure that sound decisions are made based on what you have, what is to come, and what best way to proceed in between all of that, okay? From there, of course, we get into this big old world of understanding ethics and how it relates to computer technology and issues for users, which are, of course, ethical issues when it comes to computers. Have big notions of big social groups. As a matter of fact, I keep in touch with everyone within the class, being that this is an online class at the moment, by way of email. And there is a standard of ethics to adhere to within the world of computer technology. There are computer ethics not only for users, but then there are computer ethics for those who are students, and they happen to be two different things. Of course, a user, someone who would just be in the ranks of utilizing their computer for personal good, might just be surfing the web, might be to put together some type of worksheet that they want to budget their bills, or might want to make sure that they're understanding what the Ten Commandments are, whatever it might be. To overstep boundaries and get on the World Wide Web, and then maybe want to start maybe soliciting the sexual favors of teenagers or young people, is something where a person has then overstepped their boundaries and the decisions that they have chose to make at that particular time are surely unethical and unmoral decisions when they want to be able to use computers and the technology thereof to step out of the realms of ethics and get unethical. However, at the same time, if we're speaking in regards to computer ethics and issues for students, then we have to understand there is a level of professionalism that has to be adhered to. So therefore, I send you emails that are not emails meant to pry into your private life, or they are not emails meant to try to mislead you into the notion that I am looking to do anything other than instructing you as an instructor in this particular class. And likewise, you as the student have a particular ethical standard to stick to by way of computer ethics, as to where you also keep a professional and you are not trying to holler at Mr. Nunley. Let me get at Mr. Nunley. Let me send one of my work to Mr. Nunley, see if he can handle me or anything. All of those situations are understood by the student as well as the instructor, and there is a reciprocated relationship and an understood relationship as to where it comes to a notion of utilizing computer ethics, okay? And getting into chapters 9, 10, and 11, you get to the core of the workplace, dealing with human resources in chapter 9, dealing with employees in Chapter 10, and then dealing with corporate responsibility in Chapter 11. These are all strictly workplace issues for sure. Of course, Chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, they still have personal zings and rings to them, but they can also translate over into that of the professional world as well and kind of, you know, be dual and go back and forth. But Chapters 9, 10, and 11 are strictly those that relate to the workplace, be it a job and or career, okay? And within Chapter 9, ethical issues within human resources and understanding the obligations of employers is discussed. Things such as you understanding harassment of males by females or harassment of females by males in the workplace and why that is unethical and considered to be a notion that is prohibited at all jobs that you would work at for the most part. Okay, hey, maybe there still are some archaic caveman corporations going on around the world today that I'm sure we all know of. But if we are going to discuss not only ethical standards, but those in light of professional ethical standards, then we are going to be talking about employers and their obligations to be ethical people, okay, and to be able to promote ethical workplaces for us to work at and go and make our money. Okay. Within Chapter 10, we get into the notion of ethics for employees, and we'll kind of discuss some of the things in Chapter 10 that we discussed back here in Chapter 3 in light of our moral ethical development, and then even that of Chapter 2 in light of our ethical principles and where we first have been set up to be these kinds of moral people in the first place there. And there in Chapter 10, the discussion of ethical violations by employees and then the character traits of excellent employees are the things that are discussed there. Okay. From there, moving on into Chapter 11 and, you know, getting into a big and final discussion of ethics and corporate responsibility and how corporate obligations and the characteristics of socially responsible companies are something that are looked at and understood. And by that particular time, they're pretty much the whole gambit of discussing ethics in the workplace is something that will have been brought to pretty much a completion. Okay. And, you know, my whole notion is, you know, at this point, is pretty much just to say that, you know, each chapter by, you know, that particular time of study, has, for the most part, offered a thorough discussion of specific topics that are relevant to business ethics. And, you know, and then even more in addition, as we all know by this particular point, all of the chapters do include reinforcement activities. And I like how they put creative twists within these reinforcement activities. I've even had the pleasure of being able to work in class with these reinforcement activities and able to utilize them as a great, wonderful discussion piece to discuss ethics in the workplace. And even more than that, the critical thinking exercises and a variety of opportunities for personal reflection and growth that you probably won't find anywhere within these chapters. They do get into some good notions of being able to understand those things. For instance, back in Chapter 1, if you'll look back in Chapter 1 on page 5, we are asked to personally reflect on what part of your life do you face the most ethical problems and decisions, and why do you think that that might be, you know? And to be honest, as we may already know, that question that's being asked there on page 5 within the section personal reflection is a question that is not always asked of ourselves, or even others are asking of ourselves in that particular manner. And to be able to focus on what ethical problems and decisions that we face and have to make is something that we can kind of get into the area of preparing ourselves and at least having a game plan in place for, if you will. Okay, you know, to be able to understand the notions of ethical principles and how universal they are, as it displays on page 5, that people should respect the rights of others and should keep their promises and be honest and take responsibilities for the actions as well as act in the best interest of others and help others when in need, and being able to be fair in most case instances are a whole lot of room to understand not only ethical problems, but decisions that could be made to solve these ethical problems, okay? And, you know, your ethical principles, they pretty much help to define one important thing in most all of us, and that is the notion of our character. Our character. How will you act in a situation? Of course, your actions will be based on your thoughts, and your thoughts will be based on such things as how you respect others, how you keep promises, be honest, how you take responsibility for what you do, and how you, you know, make a point to be fair in what you do. All of that will come out in particular times like that. As you can see on page 5, and I really like this particular quote that was quoted by General Omar Bradley, the world has achieved brilliance without conscience. And ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. Nuclear giants and ethical infants. It is a world that is its principles are things to be known on your own for the most part, and without particular classes and courses of this nature, there are few discussions in regards to being able to understand these things. When it relates not only to ethics in the workplace, but also ethics on a whole. Just to recap from chapter 1 and the notion of ethical principles and understanding what was done in chapter 1, we were able to find out that within the world of ethics, you know, we study morality and human conduct and what is considered to simply be right or wrong or good or bad. And that morality refers to human behavior that can be evaluated in terms of right and wrong. So ethical issues are those topics that raise moral concerns, as do ethical principles are, for the most part, general guidelines by which people should live. And all of this was pretty much summed up in Chapter 1. Chapter 1, we got to a notion of understanding and being introduced to ethics, how people tend to base their ethical beliefs on some combination of authority, culture, that of intuition and reason, if you will. And it is one of those particular four areas that allows these ethical beliefs to come into play, okay? It might be, once again, that of authority, maybe the people that are at your job making the rules, or the people in your community, in your society, that are making the norms of what is to be done or what is not to be done, are the things that we tend to base things on when it comes to ethical decisions, if you will. Now, past that, in Chapter 1, we got to the notion of the standard of ethics and how they tend to be more serious in nature than the standard of etiquette, okay? And then also understanding that the standard of law can also be quite serious and that it is based on and nothing more than or nothing less than authority. So in contrast, the standard of ethics is based on reason and logical thinking, rather than simply being able to haphazardly and unconsciously follow a rule, okay? If you are going to be in that of the conscious realm, as stated by General Omar Bradley in that previously stated quote, and once again, that quote came from page 5. The quote says, "The world has achieved brilliance without conscience. Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants." Basically, what he is stating is, without conscience, without us being able to make a sound decision about things, and be able to not only make a sound decision, but base our sound decision off of good reason, good proof, good evidence, good things to justify what it is we are stating this answer to be. And within the standards of law, that is not always going to be the case as to where you are able to think in a conscious manner, because it is usually at a point as to where that has already been done, okay? And you just need to follow the rule, all right? So understanding that those particular notions that we have just discussed pretty much got us to the point of being able to understand what it is, okay? And why we have particular notions of situations dealing within the world of ethics, okay? And we also found in chapter one that if we just wanted to be straight and direct when it comes to ethics, it is purely the study of what is right and wrong, or what is good and bad, okay? So, of course, way farther than before you began taking this class, and surely by the time you were in taking this class, and even after you finished taking this class, ethics is something that you will endure. You will study the right and the wrong and the good and the bad of yourself, of others who deal with you. Today you will do that. And will it be a study of ethics? Yes, it will be that. So, do know that ethics is something that has been utilized all along, okay? It is something that has been utilized all along. Yes, it has. Now, once we moved from there and we finished understanding ethics by way of being introduced to ethics and what ethics is, then we moved into the notion of understanding ethical principles and how they could also be applied in the workplace, and then once again, and more importantly, also in your life. And within that of chapter two, we got to a notion of understanding ethical principles and how, in fact, we get to the notion that within a discussion of ethical principles that we come to a notion of consequences and understand consequences and how there are the effects or the results of what people do, and how these consequences tie in with egoism and the egoism principle, which maintains that an ethical action is the one that has the best consequence for a person. Now, past that particular principle of the egoism principle, we also discussed in chapter two, a principle that argues that the right thing to do in any situation is the action that produces the most good or happiness for the most people. And, of course, that principle would be the utility principle, okay, that pretty much, once again, in the nutshell, states that if there is a right thing to do, then it is the best thing to do for all parties concerned, okay? Past that, in chapter two, we got to a notion of understanding the principle of right, and how the principle of rights maintains that an action is considered moral when it respects the rights of others. Action is considered immoral when it violates another's rights. Okay, and that's what makes that one such an easy principle to remember. So in a nutshell, if we are discussing the egoism principle, then we are discussing, for the most part, consequences just for a person. Okay, if we're discussing the utility principle, then we're talking about consequences for most people altogether. However, if we're talking about a principle of right, then we're talking about someone else as it relates to ourselves. Okay, now the principle of duties maintains that people should do what is ethically right purely because they have a moral obligation to do what is ethically right. But as we all know, that even though we are once again in chapter two discussing the notion of ethical principles, and we begin to get into the meat and bones of why we are who we are and why we make the decisions that we make when we deal with people on all types of personal or workplace levels, all in regard to ethical principles that all in regards to the ethical principles that come to a point of shaping the who, what, when, where, and whys of who we are as a person. whether in or outside of the workplace. Okay? All right? So, even though the principle of duties maintains that people should do what is ethically right purely because they have a moral obligation to do what is ethically right, as we all know, does not mean that they will always do the right thing because the right thing is the right thing to do. Okay? So past that particular point, we also get into the notion and we sum up chapter 2 by understanding that the principle of virtue states that ethics is based on being a good person. And that is to say, incorporating ideal character traits into one's life. Once again, ethics and morality builds on your character, okay? How you are intending for a situation would deal with your character traits, would deal with making up your character, okay? How you're going to act. Hey, he's a good guy. Man, don't mess with her, man. She acts like a little, you know. These things come from the notion and the understanding that ethics, the things that shape you and make you who you are, give you your moral fiber. All of this pretty much was discussed in chapter 2. As a matter of fact, on page 40, which was a good example, you saw that how they discussed that America's biggest shopping day of the year is the Friday following Thanksgiving Day. But you might also be surprised to learn that the biggest online shopping day of the year is the following Monday. And evidently, many people wait until they are back to work to go online and order gifts for the holidays. Now, remember that many of these people just had several days at home when they could have completed their online shopping. But the theory is that work computers are generally faster than home computers, which explains why people wait until they are back at work to do their online shopping. And meanwhile, many employers have policies that forbid these employees from using their work computers for personal matters such as shopping. So within the discussion of two, we were able to get ourselves to a particular situation of being able to ask such questions as, is it ethically wrong for employees to use company computers for internet shopping, or are employers justified in forbidding it, you know, and being able to explain that. Chapter 2 allowed us to be able to have that discussion, okay, and to have that discussion as it relates within the world of ethics. All right, now, once we were able to complete Chapter 2, then, of course, we set ourselves up to be able to understand not only ethics and how they relate specifically and then within that of our lives, but even more importantly, we were able to get to a point of understanding personal ethical development and how these so-called character traits come into the place of being able to be built up to what they can possibly be in the first place. Okay? Now, one thing that we were able to do within Chapter 3 and understanding the personal ethical development was to be able to understand that being a consistently ethical person requires four things. It requires moral sensitivity, ethical judgment, also requires ethical motivation, and then that of, and check this one out, the biggest and best. They all build up from the first three, and we build up the last fourth notion of a consistently ethical person, which is known as ethical character. Once again, how you're going to act in a particular situation. Are you going to take it? Are you going to steal? Are you going to be honest? Are you going to hit him? Are you going to bust him in his mouth, even though he deserves it, but you're going to look and seek to be a bigger and better person? Are you gonna find that wallet and give the money back? Or are you gonna, you know, just give the wallet back? Or you ain't gonna get none of that. You just gonna throw it in the trash can or whatever. You know, these things are built on your character traits, on your ethical and your development in light of your person. Okay. So with that being the case, we found that in chapter 2, Lawrence Kohlberg had developed a theory of moral development in being able to measure a person's understanding of the concept of justice, if you will. Okay, and he correlated in chapter 2 six stages of what he developed to be known as the justice model. And within these six stages of the justice model, we would understand such things as obeying authority and avoiding punishment, or acting in ways that meet your own needs and get you what you want, ways that you act to get social approval, that is, or how you would conform to establish rules, laws, and policies that have already been made, or maybe even how you would follow the ethical principles and values of your society or culture at the time. Will you go online at this particular moment, and just because all of your other friends are on Instagram, well, hey, I ain't one for taking pictures on my cell phone and doing all this posting and wanting to do all that crap, but everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to go ahead and do it too. You know, would you follow your own personal but maybe universal ethical principles and say, well, you know what, I'm not going to get online and post up anything, because really what I think is I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing outside of whenever it is I'm doing it. And if they weren't there to be a part of it, then that meant they weren't meant to be there in the first place. And I don't want to try to summon them at any moment past that point and try to make them to be a part of that moment. They don't deserve it, and I don't deserve to have to make them do that. You might see it like that, and you would be fine in doing so, because once again, these are the six stages of the justice model, okay? And they are a measure of a person's understanding of the concept of, if you will, justice. Now, when we speak of justice, do remember that we are talking about being able to be impartially fair, okay? That you are looking to be of equity. That is to say, you're looking to be able to be fair in what it is that you do. Okay, but one other big notion that we discussed there in chapter 2 is the difference between being fair and the difference between being able to show care and concern for the welfare of someone or something else. So moving past what we discussed in chapter 2 by way of Lawrence Kohlberg's theory of the justice model and moral development by that measure, we also got into the discussion of Carol Gilligan as it related to the understanding and the concept of being able to care, okay? And within what Carol Gilligan discussed as opposed to the justice theory was that of the caring model that was discussed in chapter 3. And in light of a personal's personal ethical development, it was discussed that within the stages, the three steps or the three stages of the caring model, we get to a notion of first being able to care for self only at the expense of others whenever necessary. And then we are able to move into a point of caring for others only at the expense of ourselves if necessary. And then we are also able to balance care not only for ourselves but for others and be fair and impartial about it, okay? And in doing so, we were able to get to the notion that there could be two inner forces that would come down to help us base our decision on not only how far but how fast a person matures in his or her ethical development, which had to deal with the two notions of the inner force known as inner conflict and then the inner force known as the fear of change, okay? And, of course, if we were to discuss the notion of inner conflict, then we are speaking in regards to that which pretty much motivates a person to look for different ways of thinking, if you will, okay, as opposed to the fear of change, where we pretty much want it to remain exactly like it has been because we know what has been, okay? I like within the notion of that on page 67, there was a famous quote made by Frederick Douglass in regards to those two particular forces. If you will, those opposing forces of inner conflict and fear of change, that if there is no struggle, there is no progress. And I know that most of you who have taken a course with me before have heard me made the quote that nothing works without work. Pretty much is saying the same thing. Hey, if there's no struggle, there is no progress. If there is no work, there is no work. If there is no pain, there is no gain. All in between. These things, were discussed in chapter 3 in a whole in light of your personal ethical development, Okay. And from that particular point, we were able to move into our last chapter of discussion, which was, in fact, once again, chapter 4, being able to critically think in the world of ethics. And I would say, state probably the most important chapter that I would myself in a personal opinion would give in regards to this workbook. And once again, I say that because when it comes to being able to make a logical, ethical decision and being able to state the justification for this decision, we are at a point of having to do not what only is called thinking, but critical thinking. And we were able to know and understand by way of chapter 4, and even in its own definition of what critical thinking is, which is, of course, the process of logical problem solving, of using critical thinking skills, not only in a math problem, but also in science to be able to resolve a particular situation, or even more than that, in ethics to resolve an ethical or a moral problem. This was a very important chapter, critical thinking and ethics. We discussed within chapter 4 how logical fallacies are no more than inappropriate or deceptive arguments, okay? But if you do not understand logical fallacies and how they are simply fallacies that are no more than illogical or things that do not make sense and tend to deceive your thought process, then, of course, these inappropriate or deceptive situations can lead you to a particular point of not getting everything that is afforded to you, okay? Logical fallacies are often used from ignorance, but, you know, sometimes they're utilized to manipulate or trick others into agreeing on a said thing. And that pretty much is the discussion here in Chapter 4 that we are wanting to prepare the student for as far as the workplace is concerned. Do not be manipulated or tricked by others into doing things that are going to be unethical or unmoral in the workplace or even at home, more importantly, okay? Because these things can and do happen. And with that being the case, we were able in Chapter 4 to discuss the ethics model, which is a model, a six-step structure approach to making ethical decisions. And a very important six-step structure to pay attention to in light of making ethical decisions and to be able to think critically, not only within the world of ethics, but within the world as a whole. So getting to the notion of understanding that if we do have a problem of any nature, doing these six things in light of this problem will allow us to work to the not only a solution, but the best solution possible. If we were able to first think through the options of whatever problem we have, and then from that particular point, be able to highlight the stakeholders and identify and apply the relevant ethical principles to this particular problem. Once again, ethical principles that we have looked at back in to there, okay? Let me see, how much time do we have? We only have 6 more minutes, so I would say that if, once again, those ethical principles, principles such as long-term best interests of people or doing what is right because it's an obligation to do so or even never violating the rights of others, those particular principles are adhered to when you get to the third step of evaluating your particular problem. And I'm sorry, the fourth step, actually. And then moving on within evaluating this particular problem, we get to the point of being able to choose the most wisest decision to make, the most ethical option to go with, and past that particular point, being able to justify why we have gone through this process and made the decision that we have made in light of making a critical thought, okay? Once again, believing is not knowing, and knowing is not believing. And the difference between the two is a process called thinking. Okay? It's a process called thinking, and that's where we were able to end up in light of chapter 4 and understanding not only critical thinking, but even more so the 6 steps of the structured approach to making ethical decisions. You will be receiving in your email your final exam as well as a study guide to complete to allow you to prepare for your final exam. Do make sure that you are able to adhere to the dates and the times. That is most important. Of course, if things aren't turned in on time, then you are not receiving full credit for those items unless there is an excuse that justifies your reasoning and your purpose for turning it in late. So make sure, once again, that you are on time in turning in these assignments, okay? I would like to say that, if I am not mistaken, there are plans to have one more discussion in light of the things that we have done here within the world of ethics in the workplace and this 5-week course that we are in the midst of completing. And there will kind of be a summation of not only this course, but also another course that is being taught. And I would like to say, look forward to receiving a little more information on that here in the up and coming, if you are a student in this class at this particular time. And I just want to say that it has been a pleasure as the instructor to be able to help guide you in understanding, and not only understanding, but hopefully also, more importantly, being able to implement these most important issues and ethical principles that have been discussed within ethics in the workplace and this particular class over the course of the last 5 weeks here. It has been my ultimate pleasure in being able to not only instruct you, but also being able to learn from you by way of email conversations, things that have to deal with the course. And we were also even able to have one structured discussion. And I am proud of the work and also proud of the effort that everyone has put forth in being able to understand ethics in the workplace. If you do have any further issues or any further questions, please do not hesitate to send emails to me at the email that you always send to, and I will surely get back to you as quick and as soon as possible as I am possibly able to do. Please make sure that you have a most wonderful week, a most wonderful weekend. And remember that you are the only one who can allow yourself to make the best ethical decision whenever and however possible. You have been armed with the tools and have had discussions and have also done and will, even in this week, be completing more work that allows you to be able to do so. Make sure that you grasp this information and that you are able to help not only yourselves but others around you to understand the best ethical action that could possibly be made at any given time. Once again, it's been my pleasure in instructing you. Please make sure that you not only do your best because others want you to, but make sure that you simply do your best because you simply can. Once again, Mark Nunley, instructor for Ethics in the Workplace. And the word that you need to email to me, once again, is Ethics in the Workplace. Email that to me, okay? Have a great one.